Let us pray. Gracious God, might that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength, our rock, and our redeemer, always. Amen. You know, it fascinates me the power that words have. We remember from Genesis that when God created the world, God spoke and things came into being. God said the word and it happened. And when we get to the Gospel of John, when we get to this mystical, magical, beautiful first chapter of the Gospel of John, we hear once again that words have power. And we hear that in an interesting twist on words, that the word, and this is the capital W word, meaning Jesus, the logos is what it says in the Greek, the word became flesh. The word became one of us. One of the greatest scientists of the 20th century was J. Robert Oppenheimer. And Oppenheimer said one time, if you really want to get an idea across, wrap it up in a person. Wrap it up in a person. If you want to get an idea across, wrap it up in a person. And the Gospel of John wants us to understand that somehow God became a human being in the person of Jesus Christ, in what we would call a theological term, we would call it the incarnation. The incarnation, that the Word became flesh. And this fascinates me because C.S. Lewis said one time that as much as we love our pets, our dogs, for example, none of us really know what it's like to be a dog. And what would it mean to our dogs if for a little while we could not speak but only bark or wag our tails? If we had to go around on four legs for a while, we would know exactly what it was like to be a dog. And the fascinating thing about the incarnation, about the Word becoming flesh, about what John describes in this first gospel, the fascinating thing is that because Jesus was God and because Jesus became human, he knows exactly what it's like to be human. He knows exactly what we deal with, what we go through, how it felt to thirst, to hunger, to be tired, to be angry, to laugh, to be one of us. And that's the most fascinating thing, I think, about the incarnation, is that God knows what it's like to be one of us, that the Word became flesh. And in verse 14, John says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The translation there, made his dwelling among us, in the Greek really means pitched his tent with us. It's a great image, isn't it? God decided to pitch his tent with us, to be one of us. John goes on to write, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the fact that Jesus came with grace and truth is important because I think we can't have one without the other. They're kind of like shoes. This is actually sign language for shoes. And really, when we think about grace and truth, we can't have one without the other. We have to have them both together. And the scripture says that Jesus came full of both grace and truth. And as we think about Christmas, we're reminded, you know, we sang Christmas hymns today because there are actually 12 days of Christmas. It's not just a song. And we're still in the Christmas season, and we're still remembering the fact and celebrating the fact that God came near, that God came near, that God came to us in Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you a reflection about the first coming of Jesus. This was written by the author Madeline L'Engle, and it's titled First Coming. He did not wait until the world was ready, until humans and nations were at peace. He came when the heavens were unsteady and prisoners cried out for release. He did not wait for the perfect time. He came when the need was deep and great. He dined with sinners in all their grime, turned water into wine. He did not wait until hearts were pure. In joy, he came to a tarnished world of sin and doubt. To a world like ours, of anguish, shame, he came, and his light would not go out. He came to a world which did not mesh, to heal its tangles, shield its scorn. In the mystery of the Word made flesh, the Maker of the stars was born. We cannot wait until the world is sane to raise our songs with joyful voice. For to share our grief, to touch our pain, Jesus came with love. Rejoice, rejoice. And the fact is that Jesus was not born into any more of a perfect world or a perfect time than the one that we live in now. But the message that comes to us through Christmas is that just as Christ was born and embodied the Word made flesh, was God in the flesh, so must we go out into the world and be Christ to others. You see, that's the real message of Christmas, is that Christ can be born in us, that we can become incarnate in a sense as well. Incarnate with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we can go and make a difference in the world, even as we sing, as Madeline L'Engle said, rejoice, rejoice. Because brothers and sisters, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld his glory, the glory of God's only Son, full of grace and truth. Good news for any Sunday morning, but especially for this first Sunday after Christmas. Amen.